You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
And this is all about what does it look like for us as a church as we emerge from the last 2 years, as restrictions relax, as we hopefully get back into more normal rhythms. What is it going to look like for us to move forward? And so today, we're going to be hearing from different leaders in our church about what this past season has been like for them. You're going to hear some unique challenges that they will experience. But then the question to them was, like, what is helping you move forward? Where is the strength? What is helping you move forward? And I think you're going to be really encouraged today. I think you're going to be really strengthened today. And I think you're going to resonate a lot with some of these stories. And so we're going to break it up into two. So I'm going to invite Malik and Matt to join me up on stage. They're going to introduce themselves a little bit to you if you don't know who they are. And then we're going to look forward to hearing from what they have to say. And so as they take their seats, you can grab that mic. Hopefully that one's also working. And why don't we start with you, Malik?
Hello. Hi guys, my name is Malik. I'm a freelance photographer and videographer in Toronto, and I help with leading students longer and sometimes with the social media stuff and videos. So I'm going to pull up my phone because my memory's not good. So yeah, I was asked to share a bit about my past couple of years and how I've dealt with loss. So in the last couple of years, especially in 2021, was a very difficult year for me and my family. We lost two family members. In January of 2021, my grandmother, Gertie, she was placed under palliative care after fighting cancer for many years. My family helped take care of her and come back from Toronto all the way to London where she lived, back and forth to take care of her. It was difficult to see her body and her mind just gradually break down in the span of just a few months until she passed away last May at 75. And then on February 15, 2021, my family got a text letting us know that my cousin Hannah was in a car accident and passed away. Sorry. She was 19 and one of my closest cousins that I knew. Because of travel restrictions, we were not able to attend her funeral, which was really hard as we couldn't be with the rest of the family and her friends during that time. However, I'm grateful that I was able to go visit them and the family a few months later. Even though I had to go to quarantine when I went back. So Hannah and her family, they actually visited Toronto, visited our family on Christmas of 2019, and she and my cousins came actually to an Every Nation service, a Christmas service, and she really enjoyed that. And that was the last time I was able to see her in person. So yeah, when I hear of a tragedy like the death of a loved one or virus spreading, our country being bombed, I'm brought to a place of humility. It's this feeling of stepping back and getting a wider perspective on life and things. It makes me realize that so many things that I spend my time worrying about are really small in the grand scheme of things, right? I begin to reevaluate what's really important. And I'm reminded that my hope needs to be in God more than anything but my hope in here. So a Bible verse that has encouraged me in the last year is there on the screen. I'll read it out. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So I don't know about you, but for me, the troubles I face don't seem light and momentary, like this verse suggests. And it makes it a hard verse to take in. I think about my dad, who lost his mother, who was very close to my relatives, who lost their daughter, their sister. And if I feel a heavy grief, you know, how much more is their grief? Sometimes when I see passages like this, I think, aren't you supposed to grin and bear it? You know, just trust God. He will make you happy. Your pain is insignificant. But the Bible tells us that Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He wept even when he heard that his friend Lazarus had died, even though he knew that Lazarus would be raised. He stopped to grieve the pain of death, even though he knew death wasn't the end. God cares about how we feel. He cares about our emotions. How wonderful it is that we have an all-powerful God who cares about our big and our little problems. Amen? So, like Jesus in that moment with Lazarus, we are in a time of mourning in the pains and tragedies that are a result of living in a broken world. This past 2 years, I've learned that it's okay to go through these pains. It's okay to weep. However, we don't have to remain there. We have a hope that keeps us from losing heart. The first verse says. So if this verse is saying that our deepest and hardest struggles and pains compared to the ultimate life with God are light and momentary, you know, how much greater is that life going to be? Like, if I can think of how overwhelmingly hard that grief was, how much more is life with God going to be? I know that one day my grandmother, my cousin, and I will be worshiping Jesus together, and that every tear will be wiped away. So I don't let go of the pain I feel, but I hold it both in my hand with also the hope of Christ. And I notice that one far outweighs the other. I just wanted to also share that while I was receiving this news and living this hard time, I reached out to some of our pastors, and I really felt a lot of support from them, especially Pastor Aaron. I had never even met you in person, and we had a few good calls, and I just really appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Lee. Shay, how many of you in this past season have lost someone, a family member, a friend? Just raise your hand. So, yeah, we'll acquainted with you. I'm going to put Lee on the spot. Would you just pray?
Sure.
For us?
Lord Jesus, we thank you for the lives you've given us. We thank you that we all woke up this morning, that you've chosen to let us walk another day. We thank you for the family that we have around us, the friends we have around us, the church we have that can be supports to us in our lives. And God, we hold on to the hope of this promise of the future that we can already get a glimpse of today. Lord, would you strengthen us as we remember times of loss? Would we not forget these wonderful promises you have for us?
All right, hey everyone, I'm Matt, one of the small group leaders for our Thursday small group downtown. I've been asked to share about the impact of COVID and our work disruptions and health vulnerability. So I'll talk about that and why I'm keeping my mask on. How do we move forward as we come out of the quote-unquote pandemic into an endemic phase? There's three main points I want to quickly talk about, and then I'll expand on them a little bit. First one is praise God and seek His face. Second, be patient, for He is already at work. And third, bring your petitions before the Lord. So, in terms of work disruption, I had the privilege of being able to work from home. I know not everyone does, but I did. And while it is a privilege, it also accelerated a lot of these stresses that were already in my work. Some of you know this, some of you don't, but my previous job, I've been there for around 6 years, and about half that time I've been complaining about it. I've been trying to find a new job, and mostly because I didn't exactly have what you call a healthy relationship with work. My normal work day is like 10 to 12 hours. I'm working with teams here in Toronto, California, and then also I have a team in China. Working from home meant that the physical boundaries that used to exist between work and life, or work and home, I guess, got removed. In my case, my bedroom became my workplace. So you can imagine, like, as someone who was already burning out before the pandemic, when that happened, it just sped everything up a lot more. And like everyone else, I thought it was just going to be a short thing, like, okay, cool, a couple weeks, maybe a few months, we're going to be back to work, it'll be fine. That was not the case. And without me knowing, like, around 6 years and 50% of that time me complaining and asking God to give me a new job, I wanted to get out of here. I didn't realize God was already actually working in me. Even if he had provided me a new work, I don't think anything would have changed. Because my problem wasn't with my work, it was with myself. Like I said, I didn't have a good working relationship with work. So without me knowing, he was already changing me on the inside to have a better view about work and giving myself the strength to set that boundary between work and life. And this brings me to the first verse, we can bring that up. 1 Chronicles 16:8-11. This is when the Ark of the Covenant finally came back to Jerusalem, and this is what David instructed Asaph, I think, and his brothers, in terms of how to praise God. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done, sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wonderful acts, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. I think it's important for us to remember, regardless of what's happening in our workplace, whether you're working from home or you still have to go in for work right now, is that we're always to first praise God for what he has already given us, and secondly, to always seek his face and seek his strength. Because even without us knowing, he's already working on us. What we need to do is be patient and continue to have our North Star, which is in him, or else we get lost ourselves. Now the problem is, okay, that's great and all, like work you can change, but what about like long-term health problems, right? Like those of us who have it, like myself or people who we know. Just a quick background, I have a condition in my spine which there's inflammation there. So long term, if you don't treat it, the spine will basically fuse together and basically will get stuck in one because it can't move. So to combat that, I take a concoction of different types of medicine to basically suppress my immune system. One of them is actually also used to treat cancer. So when the pandemic came around, you know, in the beginning when everyone was saying, oh, it's just like the flu, right? I was like, okay, cool, I'm fine. And then very quickly that changed as mounting evidence came in. It's like, this is not just any type of virus like the flu. There are severe outcomes for this. So really quickly, my life turned upside down too. On top of working from home, I was like, well, even going outside to the grocery store is a huge risk. And I started to live in fear, you know, when the pandemic first came and we were all sent home. I didn't actually see anybody for about 18 months since then. And that's not saying that, you know, it's a bad thing. I think that is a very good thing in terms of being cautious and being responsible with my own personal health and safety. And I'm not here to tell you that it's not a Christian thing to do, quote unquote, if you're living in fear. I think that's actually two separate things. And can we put up that next verse in Psalms? So, be merciful to me, Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul, my body, with grief. My life is consumed by anguish, my years by groaning. My strength fails me because of my afflictions, and my bones grow weak. And I think what we see here from David, and this is, by the way, David lamenting to God after he knew what God already planned for him, and he's fleeing from Saul into the desert. I think it's okay for us to be careful with our health for those of us who are struggling, and maybe you're still looking for a way, like, how, what do I do in this new phase of the pandemic? It's okay to bring those to God and say, I still need to work it out. It's okay to still be fearful, and that's actually a really good thing in our Christian walk. It's only through exposing our fears and vocalizing them to God, lamenting to God, do we actually start to grow, and that's what God wants for us. So, wrapping up here, 3 points. To praise the Lord, seek his face, be patient, for he's already at work, even when we don't feel like it. And in the meantime, bring your petitions before the Lord.
Thank you so much. We give these guys a round of applause, and then I'm going to ask Diane and Lee to join me to hear from them. So, I appreciate the vulnerability with which you guys have shared today. And so, Diane, why don't we start with you, and tell us who you a little about yourself and your experience.
Hi, everyone. My name is Diane, and I co-lead our student small group with Malik, and also run our social media, so that's me sending all the posts out if you see it, and I also occasionally sing on our worship team. I've been asked to talk about my experience as a student at the start of the pandemic, and now transitioning into my work life, which I'm actually a real adult. So, when the pandemic started, I was in my last year of my undergrad at York University. And growing up, I was always told, you know, go to school, get good grades, you'll get a good job that pays nice. And the pandemic kind of disrupted all of that because there were no jobs available when I finished school. So I was kind of just doing nothing for many months. So after a few months of being unemployed, I decided, well, I might as well just go back to school because I don't know what else to do. So I did another year of school. And if you have not gone to school during a pandemic, a fully remote learning situation is not fantastic. It's very isolating. It's very transactional. At the end of that program, I went away without having built any connections because everybody was kind of just like, well, it was nice seeing you. We're all going our own ways now. So I focused a lot on building professional relationships, so networking, trying to talk to people in the field that I wanted to get into, because that was what I was told would get you into the right job. You need to know somebody in the right companies, somebody who will open the door for you. So I was doing that basically full-time, then attending to my part-time job, and then during my free time, I would go to our student small group and kind of try to encourage people. And a few people actually promised me jobs by doing this, so I was somewhat confident that, you know, at the end of the summer, I'll be fine. I have some jobs lined up for me. But I was actually on our ENC Institute in Vancouver last year, and in the middle of it, all the jobs that were promised to me fell through. People backed out on their word. People started to ignore my emails and my calls. So I was just really devastated, and I didn't know what to do. But I tried to go out and put on a happy persona, because I was a leader and I had to talk to students while I was there. And when I went home at the end of the week, I was very depressed. I was very discouraged, and I was disappointed in myself because I feel like I disappointed my mother, who worked hard for me, because I didn't have a job, and I felt like she was going to start like expecting rent or something, even though she never asked me for rent, and she never does. Thank you. I had a lot of anxiety about my future, and a lot of students and a lot of people who, you know, are getting out of their undergrads or their masters and are looking for their next step feel that way. And it's just exacerbated by the pandemic and everything that is going on. It took me many months into my job search before I talked to God seriously about it. And I realized that I was trusting in the wrong things, and which was when God told me this verse. So trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. So I was told when I was looking for a job to start small, look for an internship. If it's unpaid, take it. Do it for a couple months. And when you get a full-time job, it's probably going to be minimum. And the working environment won't be great, but it's a start. And God told me, no, I want you to look for a full-time job. I want you to apply to jobs that you want to work in. I want you to have your set your salary expectation, and it's not minimum. And I don't want you to spend 7 days a week applying for every single job out there. I want you to be selective. Do not settle. Trust me. And as scary as that was, I did it. While you're not looking for a job, I want you to focus on your small group. These are students who felt the same way as you. They're new to the country. They don't know anybody. They are just as isolated as every single other person out there, just like you, and they don't know anybody. So that's what I did. At the end of last year, I got a job, thankfully. I got a job. It's full time. It pays much more than I asked for. And although I was scared because I had friends tell me, you know, it's just a job. Like, don't expect too much. My church friends know, they told me. I don't care because I know that it's the job that God set for me and it's where I was meant to be. So I hope that encourages you to just keep trusting God even though you're not seeing any results immediately.
So before we put you on the spot, you know, pray for us. Is anyone here, you're personally trusting a job or someone you know that's really in a situation where they need a job? Anyone in that situation? Okay, let's pray. Would you lead us in a prayer in terms of that's such a great word of just trusting God in the midst of some really hard circumstances?
Yeah. Lord, just thank you for continuing to work even though we feel like we know what's better for us. Thank you that despite all the challenges and obstacles and the disruptions that have gone on in the world, you remain in control of our lives, our careers, and that you care about us and have our best interests, Father. I pray for just doors to open, Father, for these people who are looking for jobs, who are looking for financial security, for provision in their lives, Father. I pray for people who are new to the country and trying to establish their lives, Father, whether they're students or immigrants, Father. I pray that they continue to trust in your word and the promises that you have given to them rather than what everybody else has said. And just pray for just renewal in their faith in you, Father, that they listen to you and focus on your word and just continue to be faithful with what you have given them. We believe in all of these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thanks so much, Amen.
Good day, everyone. My name is Blue, for those who don't know me or know me. And I guess I'm one of the few people in this church who have been around for about 14 years, maybe?
Forever.
We started off when it was still a church plant, and we've been here strong ever since. My eldest daughter grew up here. I used to be a small group leader as well. Times I even traveled in the worship team. However, I was able to help with that. I have a family here with me. Like I said, I have three kids, all of whom I love really much. I have an amazing wife that's here with me as well. And I guess today I'm going to be telling you about a little bit about what's been happening for the past 2 years. Basically, I'd say before COVID happened, things were kind of going really well for us. I was working downtown for Scotiabank in IT, one of their tall towers. I was usually at the top floors, helping out some of the trading teams, some of the traders at the bank. I was doing really well in my career. My wife was working for, I guess, the catering company that was, you know, catering meals for teams like the Toronto Raptors, the Maple Leafs, and a few of the other teams that were coming to town to kind of face off with them. It was really good, I'd say. You know, the perks were amazing and very tasty. My kids were in school back then, and, you know, despite the fact that we had a very busy schedule, hectic schedule at times with my wife met working odd hours for catering, we were always able to be there for the kids, take them to school, take them to the school bus. So, you know, everything was going okay for us. Then, you know, eventually the lockdowns hit, just like almost everyone else. We found ourselves stuck together at home. And, you know, back then we still did a very small two-bedroom apartment in North York. So, I guess we got a very good chance of getting to know each other very well, getting very close to each other, some might say a little too close. You know, it was getting a little testy at times. And, you know, I started working from home. The kids started doing homeschooling or distance learning. That in itself was a bit of a challenge. I never used to work from home. The kids were always in school with it whenever I had to. It was a bit of a challenge for them because they don't usually use computers, so we had to be there to help them. Unfortunately, my wife was there too. Because of all the, I guess, the pro leagues being shut down, she got laid off from work. So she was stuck there with us too, all five of us there in that cozy little space. And, you know, it was a bit of a challenge. You know, some people would actually say that absence makes the heart grow fonder. Well, we quickly learned that the opposite was a recipe for disaster. You know, we were always on top of each other. We were dealing with new routines throughout the day and, you know, new situations. And always, you know, I guess it pretty much just really weighed in on us. All things considered, I guess my wife and I kind of did fine. We weren't like a lot of the people that we heard about that were getting into really bad situations with their relationships. But I do remember a few days ago we were having a bit of a conversation reminiscing about a time in the lockdowns where she basically said to me, you know, I feel like I'm really lucky having someone like you. Every time I look at you, I remember how much I love you. But at other times, I feel like just strangling you. It was a moment of honesty, and all I could really tell her was I felt the same way. You know, it's just, we were at that point, and the kids were constantly fighting. It's kind of hard having three kids, different ages, to kind of be in that confined space, always over on each other, competing for space, competing for attention. And then I guess, you know, in the summer of 2020, just before Christmas, that's when things got a little bit harder. I got hit with COVID, or we got hit with COVID. I was the first one to get hit, and it kind of hit me pretty hard. Not long after, my wife got it too. She was sick as well. And although we all tested positive, all five of us, we're very thankful that the kids came out practically asymptomatic. And, you know, we couldn't figure out how or why, because we were very paranoid from the beginning. At least I was really paranoid about it. I even remember back when, you know, we would actually go out on occasion before we could get into the door, we'd spray our shoes with Lysol just to make sure we you know, we don't get the virus into the house that way. And we were kind of paranoid, only going out when we really needed to. And you know, it was, It was one night in particular that I remember very distinctly. It was pretty much the middle of the night. I was feeling really bad. Basically, I couldn't get any sleep. I think it was about 1 a.m. I was texting my wife. And I was saying, I really can't sleep. And we were still isolating me at the time. There was so much pain. I was so weak, so tired, but yet I couldn't sleep. You know, the fever was still there, and I was waiting for the medicine to kick in. But I've been in bed for so much, it was really difficult for me. And at that point, that's when I turned to the Bible, looked into the Word, and, you know, I found a bit of hope in there. I found a bit more peace. and that helped me get through that moment. Because it was very early on in the pandemic, you know, at that point, there was not a lot known about it. There was a lot of people getting very sick, a lot of people dying, and there were no vaccines to help me fight it. So it got to a point where I was really low. And I have to admit, I was already thinking worst case scenario, what would happen if it got worse? But that's when, you know, I looked to God and He gave me what I needed. After recovering, you know, I guess we finally realized that we've had enough of the city. It was time to move on. We had enough of the congestion. We had enough of all the people who was always around, especially living in a high-rise building. So we eventually started looking for a house. You know, it was tough. It was not the best of times to be looking for a house, as most of you might know. It took us about a year, but eventually found a new home. And we're really thankful for that. The kids are back in school, in person, and through our faith. We're happy with them being there, back into society. My wife has started working again. She's doing really well. She's been there. She just hit her 1 year anniversary. And that night, you know, I guess that night where I looked at the word, I just want to share with you that the scripture that was given to me, practically slapped in my face as a reminder, was Romans chapter 12, verse 12. It said, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer." Sometimes we need very direct, harsh words to be reminded that we don't have to face things ourselves, that we have God to walk us through everything, the joy, the pain, the sadness, the affliction, the hardships. As long as we stay faithful in prayer, we're good. And that's what I conclude you today as encouragement.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Diane. Thank you, Lee. Thank you for all those for Matt, for Lee, Diane, Lee. Thank you so much for sharing that. Let me just wrap this up. You can take that with you. So why are we doing this? Why are we sharing? Like, maybe some of you, this is weird. Maybe it's your first time here. Welcome. We don't often do this. But I think what you're hearing is real people with real stories taking to a real faith in a real world, right? That we're a church that acknowledges the hardships of life. We don't believe that faith ignores, doesn't bury its head in the sand. But we acknowledge the reality, we acknowledge the hardships, we acknowledge the struggles. But there's always a but. But we also acknowledge that God's word has final authority in our lives. And so the way I want to wrap this up is put up a scripture, the Apostle Paul, and he had his own struggles. He had this thorn in his side, I'm not quite sure it was. He had something that he really wanted God to get rid of. Maybe like a pandemic. God, could you just be done with this right now? Maybe pray that prayer. Could we just be done with this? Could life go back to whatever, you know, we think life was like before the pandemic? Wasn't that great, by the way? We still have challenges and problems. But we've had these moments. And then he writes this, he says, this is what Jesus said to me. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. It's not the answer you want to hear, right? It's like, oh, man. Therefore, but he goes on, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, in pandemics, in riots, in circumstances that are beyond my control. Why? For when I am weak, then I am strong. And so what our faith does is it helps us reframe challenges and difficulties. It doesn't send us down the rabbit hole of despair when you don't have Jesus or faith to cling to. And it doesn't rely on me to get somehow out of this difficulty and circumstance. It looks to Jesus. And when we look to Jesus, we're allowing Him to reframe our weaknesses and difficulties as opportunities for greater dependence and desperation for Jesus in our lives. And when we have dependence and desperation for Jesus, that's when He does amazing things in us and through us.
And his grace is made available to us in a way that we would never have access to it unless we went through those difficulties and circumstances. And it's not that we welcome that. It's not that we go home and pray for suffering now. It's not that we welcome in these hardships, but it's to say that this somehow God is going to use that grief, use that challenge, use that difficulty in a way that I would be better for it had I not gone through it with his grace and with Jesus by my side. And so I want to end off by giving you some homework. This past week, after 2+ years, we got together with some of our Every Nation pastors down in Florida. Myself and Aaron were in Florida, nice sunny Florida, for 3 days. And for a lot of work, it was hard work. And it was amazing. The theme, one of the themes of the first night there was all about how God has sustained us this last 2 years as pastors, as leaders, and then how God has sustained your church. And it was a great flip because we're so aware of all the challenges we've had. And I want to flip it now. You've heard some challenges. You've heard some real stories of grief and loss and disappointment and struggle, and yet how God's grace has been available. And this is the first question that was posed to us. How has God sustained me in this past season, this season past? Now, I want to encourage you this week. Maybe some of you do this. Maybe you do a gratitude journal, whatever that is. But I would really encourage you, take some time today, this week, and write out all the ways God has sustained you this past season. It could be something deep, like finding a Bible verse when you're feeling like you could be facing death. Or it could be simple, like, I got to spend more time with my family. I got to go on walks with my family. Life slowed down where I could actually catch my breath a bit. How has God sustained me in this season past? And then the second question for us as we move forward as a church is this question. How will God sustain us in the season ahead? And there are many ways God's grace comes to us. But I want to suggest 3 ways, 3 sources that God's grace is going to sustain us in the season ahead. It's by prioritizing God's presence, God's people, and God's purposes. Presence, God's people, God's purposes. Sometimes we call this worship, community, mission. My relationship with Jesus, my relationship with other people who are following Jesus, my relationship with the world around me that God's called me to go in and serve and fulfill his purposes. Sometimes we think it's just my relationship with God, and we miss out on the grace that's in people around us, community around us. Sometimes we think that we need to get to a place of being healthy and sustained before we go and do stuff for God. And I want to say that sometimes there's a grace that only gets unlocked when you step out and be faithful and obey God, and whatever that looks like. God's presence, God's people, God's purposes. Those are at least 3 sources that God will use to sustain you, to sustain me, to sustain us as a church as we move forward in the season ahead. So before I invite Pastor Aaron to lead us into a communion moment, I want to pray for us, and then I think of no better way than to begin by doing that, by going to the communion table and strengthening our relationship with the Lord. And so, Father, we are so grateful that you have a book in the Bible called Lamentations. You have psalms that are just heartfelt of people living in a broken world like we are, dealing with challenges, disappointments. And Lord, we know we've done so much in the last 2 years. For us, some of us were just ready to move on, and we are ready to move on. But thank you, God, that you help us to come to a place of honesty and reflection in our lives, to acknowledge where we're at, but also, Lord, that you don't want to leave us there as well. Through your scripture, through your presence, through your people, through your purposes, there's a hope and a grace for us to move forward, to be sustained for the season ahead. And I pray for every person here, for all those that are not here, that we know are part of our church, God, that your sustaining presence be made real to them even this week. God, would we be as a church sustained in the season ahead as we look to you, look to one another, and look to begin to reactivate our mission in your world that you've called us to reach. And as we do that, Father, would your grace be sufficient for us such that we would boast in our weakness, because when we are weak, then we are strong. Thank you for this promise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.